Hey everyone, I'm just excited to be here. I just want to introduce myself. My name is Dave Bennett, and I'm with Christian Friendliness. And to let you guys know who Christian Friendliness is it's an inner city ministry to in the Quad Cities. And what we do is we mainly minister to people, to the poor and the people who are urban youth. And Lord, and the Lord really works in great ways. And I just want to introduce one of the other guys who work with me. I'm the director of the Rock Island Youth Center, and we have also our director of the Moline Youth Center, Dave Hodge. If you would wave your hand around, please. Okay. And I just want to get started because it's going to be a great day, and I just want to open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this wonderful day, and I just thank you for everyone that has come out, Lord, and Lord, I just pray that, you know, this will be a time that, Lord, that you will touch people's lives. Lord, that today will be real. That God, that you will speak through the songs, through the skits, through the message, Lord, and just use it as a tool to change people's lives, Lord. And I just want to lift up all the people, especially the youth that will be coming up today. Lord, calm their nerves. Lord, and let them know that they're welcome to be in this church and to be used by God. I pray this in your name. Amen. Okay. I'm going to ask, you guys are going to have a real treat because we're going to have a young lady that's going to come up and she is going to sing a cappella, which everyone knows if you've ever sang a cappella to the congregation, a song. I ask Jerrica if you would come up, please. Prepared a skit for you guys, for you guys to be blessed. It's going to go into our message, and I just hope you guys just prepare your hearts and go ahead. The people who need to come up for the skit, please come and take your places right now. And just to let you guys know, they worked on this last night, and so it's they prepared a whole skit just for you guys. And a whole message just by last night. So just be patient with them, and just we're going to have a real good time. So go ahead.
They can't stop us from preaching.
I know, but what are we going to do?
I'm scared.
So am I.
Here they come.
Here they come.
How dare you come to my country and preach the gospel to my people?
You can't stop me, never.
Oh, I can stop you. And I have ways.
How?
Because you stop me.
Never.
Well, if I can't stop you, I will divide and I will conquer.
Don't give me a hope to hear that.
You are, Elizabeth. I am so sick of you people coming over here to my country, talking about your God this and your God that, but yet you are never sick and you have everything that you need.
They have the right to know.
Well, what about when my wife got hit and died and left me here to raise my son by myself? Where was your God then?
We, y'all, don't give in no faith. You gotta believe.
Where was your God at when my cousin got shot?
God didn't want these things to happen. He loves you, and he died on the cross for your sins.
He loves us. No, he loves you more than he loves us.
No, he loves us all equally.
Equally? How come he loves us equally, and you have everything you need, but yet I'm here lonely raising my son by myself?
You got to have faith, and we can help you get it back.
Then help us.
Let's pray.
You gonna help me? A little further. There we go. Today I want to talk about authentic faith. Because authentic faith is something that, you know, is real. And that's the reason why the topic for today is, are you the real thing? And not to do the cliche of the Coke commercial that people heard many years ago. And I know that dates me back because kids are like, Coke commercial. But everyone remembers that, where they wanted to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony, and it didn't really happen because not everyone has perfect harmony. But I want to talk to you guys about what is authenticity. And I remember when I was a kid, I don't know if you guys ever did this, but I used to love Captain Crunch. Captain Crunch was, as my kids would say, it was the bomb. I mean, I like to eat it. But I remember we would get the Captain Crunch boxes, and I don't know if you guys ever did this. They'd have the little advertisements on the back of the box. It would say, Captain Crunch spy glasses with decoder. And they'd have this like little, you know, big picture, and it shows that Captain Crunch, that I could see all the way, and I could see through the walls and everything. I mean, these were the glasses, and they had a little decoder on them. And I remember I'd get the Captain Crunch boxes, and I'd get yelled at by my mom because instead of before I could even eat it, you know, I'm digging down, you know, no one's ever done that, dug down into cereal to get the little prize out. And you're like moving, trying to get it, and you're shaking the box to get it to the top, and you're digging down, and you know, cereal's going all over the floor. And so I finally got all these receipts to get my Captain Crunch spyglass decoder. And I waited and waited, and I remember it came in the mail, and I just couldn't wait. It was like my mom was like, oh, your Captain Crunch spyglass decoder just came. And I went out there, and she gave it to me, and I opened this box up, and it was the cheapest little plastic thing. You could hardly see through, you know, you open it up and the glasses were already like falling off. And I'm like, what is this? I wanted this great spy glasses and this great decoder, and all I got was this cheap little plastic thing. And I said, and it said the authentic Captain Crunch, and I was mad. I wanted to write Captain Crunch, and because, you know, you're a kid, you don't know. I thought Captain Crunch is a real person. I was mad. Captain Crunch gave me not the real thing. Because the thing that was on the box is not what I had in my hand. And, you know, a lot of times, that's kind of like the way that we are. A lot of times, we come to church. We come to church on Sundays, and we talk about we're the real thing. But sometimes we end up being just like that little plastic thing because we're not the real thing. And that's what I want to talk about. What is authentic faith? What does that mean? What does that mean to each one of us personally? And I guess the first thing I want to talk about in this is, before I get started, if you have your Bibles, please open up to Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. If you have your Bibles, I'll wait for you to turn there. Hebrews 3, 12 through 14. And I like the book of Hebrews because Hebrews is, if you've ever read Hebrews, just to give you some history with it, it's written to a bunch of Christian believers that the writer is trying to let them know, because these Christian believers, the community around them is trying to distract them, trying to tell them that, you know, what they believe isn't real. It's not the real thing. And in here, you have some really great things that really get into this message to make it full, is if you guys can later on, really you need to read chapters 1 through 4 and then Hebrews 11:1. But because of the time that's allowed to us, we will not be able to go through all of that. Plus, you wouldn't want me to, because it'd get very long. Okay. Hebrews 3, 12 through 14, if you're all there. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. And the first thing I want to talk about is, I see so many youth or just people in general that come up to me and they said, you know what, Dave, I used to be a Christian. I used to be a Christian. At one time, you know, I accepted the Lord into my life, but you know what? I'm not a Christian anymore. And I have many teens that come down the youth center. I won't see them for a while, and then they'll come on my bus or van, and I'll be talking to them. We'll have a big event, because it seems like whenever we have big events, all of a sudden, and free food, of course, all of a sudden we have, you know, the place packed out. You know, everyone's, oh, we'll come. And I haven't seen them for a while, and I say, how are you doing with your walk with the Lord? I says, you remember when you accepted the Lord? And they're like, well, I used to be a Christian, but I'm not a Christian anymore. And I'm like, well, how do you do that? You know, and I'll talk to them. And the thing is I find out two things that happen that shatters their faith. And that's what I want to talk about in this, with the first subject is shattered faith. The first thing is poor choices. And poor choices, I know for me, that when I first got saved, when I was a young man, I remember I used to go to church, Sunday school, and I even drew a picture about someday I would be a pastor of a church. And later on, as I grew up in life, about in sixth grade, I was the first time I started, you know, using drugs. And through sixth grade, I mean, I got into it. I got into it so bad that even my brothers that were around me said, you know, this, he really has a problem. I mean, I was skipping school. I was getting into drugs and I started making poor choices. And it was really affecting my life. I was failing school. I was a very good athlete at the time when I was younger. And during that time when I started getting into drugs, I gave up a lot of all the sports. And I started losing my wind and started doing a lot of things to myself. And during that time, I remember going to retreats. I would go to Covenant Pines Bible Camp, you know, up in McGregor, Minnesota. And I remember every time I would go up there, at the very end, they would have this like altar call. And I'd go up and I'd be weeping and crying. And the whole place would come around me and, you know, and pray for me. And then I'd go home and I'd throw away all my rock albums. I'd do all this stuff. And I'd start saying, you know, Lord, I felt really guilty about what I was doing. But during that time, I found out that guilt does two things. You ask for forgiveness and change your behavior, or you change your belief system. And during that time, I changed my belief system a lot of times. All of a sudden, I started getting into believing what really wasn't truly in the Scriptures about what faith talks about. And we're going to get into what faith really is, because I live my life in a lot of confusion about faith, and I see a lot of people in confusion about their faith, because they don't understand what the Word of God says, what faith is, and what it isn't. And poor choices is this. What happens now, what I'm feeling now, determines what I believe now. And that's the way I was. What happened now, what I'm feeling now, determines what I believe now. And it distracted me in my life. And the second thing that I see that turns people away, that shatters their faith, is unexplainable tragedy. All of a sudden, when someone comes to me down at the youth center and says, you know what, just like in the skit where their brother gets shot or their cousin gets shot. I've seen that at Rock Island a lot. People will come to me and they'll say, if God is such a good God, then why are all these terrible things happening? And it says here, painful or adverse circumstances that don't fit with a person's understanding of the character of God or the Christian faith, when people are confronted with tragedy, they ask, how could a good God allow this to happen? Why didn't He stop it? And how many people have done that? When unexplainable tragedy happens in lives, I know for me, one of the biggest things that I've seen is my grandmother was a woman of God. She read the Bible through faithfully, and she got cancer. And one of the things is for my father, I was really hoping that during the time that my grandma, being such a strong Christian, and my father, who doesn't claim to be a Christian, would go down and see my grandma. And during the deathbed, that you know how you read in stories where people change their lives over on the deathbed, where someone is going through a tragedy, or an unexplainable tragedy like that. But for my dad, it changed, you know, when I come up. He says, if a good God takes a woman who has given her life totally to God, and the pain that she went through in the very end, if that's what God is like, then I don't want anything to do with a God like that. And it's very hard for me, because when I try to talk to my father about that, it's something that, how do you explain something that is very personal to someone? And the only way is this, is to tell you what faith truly is about. And I want you guys to turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3, because this is one thing that the Bible talks about, what faith is. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says this, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. And after He provided purification for His sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Now, what you guys understand, the foundation of faith is a person. It's not a circumstance. That person is Jesus, who we can securely place our trust. And I want you guys to know that faith is not about circumstances. That one thing that when I grew up is I thought that if I believed enough, if I thought enough about God and who He was, that all my circumstances would be good. And what I found out as I read Scripture, that's contrary. You see, a person like Jeremiah, his whole life was not very rosy. First thing he did was go, and God told him to go tell all your friends and all the Christian believers that they're going to go to captivity because they've left the faith of God. And so he went and told all his friends, and his friends would totally reject him and persecute him. And not only did he have to go through that, then when the people did come down, the Babylonians to take him in, and the Syrians to take him into captivity, he was thrown in a dry cistern. He had to go through the captivity. His life was not a rosy life. The circumstances around him, if people looked at it, they'd say, why would he even want to believe in God? Everything that happened around him was terrible. But the Bible says this. It says that our faith is not in circumstances, but it's in the person of Christ. And I know for me that I see so many people, their faith is shattered because it's in circumstances. I see young people, they come and they put their faith because they're in a church. And people come to church, and some people may today, you come to church and it's like all of a sudden, I'm going to have faith because this is Sunday morning, we're in church. And, you know, the circumstance of being here in church, God's supposed to be here, and now, you know, I'll put my faith in God. But then you leave, and then you live your real life outside of church, and all of a sudden, your whole life is about circumstances and not in the person of Christ. And I want you guys to understand, when you look at the person of Christ, you can truly put your faith in Him. Because I want you to take you on a journey of Christ's life. Because so many people say, well, how can I believe in a Jesus? And if you look at the life of Jesus, you read the Gospels, He's the most amazing person ever on the face of the earth. There's more written about Jesus than any person ever. And I want you to know that God, in the form of the flesh of Christ, came. He died for us. But not only did He die for us, but I want you guys to look at Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. To understand he's a Jesus, He's a Savior that we can sympathize with. And it says here in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And then it goes on to say, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. If you take a journey through Jesus' life, and a lot of times you say, my life is rough, God doesn't understand. Jesus, temptation, He was tempted by Satan himself, at the hand of Satan himself. If you look at rejection, He was rejected by both friends and family members. If you look at fear, in the garden of Gethsemane, He spent the entire night dreading the events of the next day. And if you look at abandonment, His friends ran away when He needed them most, when He was going to the cross for you and I. And loneliness, Jesus faced death all alone. He cried out on the cross, Father, why have you forsaken me? That in the very end, He faced death all alone. We have a Savior who understands. And that's one great thing, that if you want to put your faith in the person of Christ, He understands everything that you're going through. He doesn't sit back and condemn you. Because that's what I used to think, that Jesus was sitting up there and just looking for all these perfect people that are totally doing everything right, reading their Bible and going to church and living a life that's right, but that's totally contrary when you see the life of Christ. Christ hung out with the sinners. He hung out and did life with people. He wasn't in the synagogues that much, except when he was directed to. He went around and he met people's needs because that was the desire of his heart, was to meet people's needs. And when it came down to once he met people's needs, he didn't stand up like our stars of today, like the basketball players or football players that we have today, to stand up and say, I'm the greatest. When he came down and he did the deeds that he did, he went away and he told people to tell no one. Because he didn't want affirmation from people. He wanted to let people know that his desire was to love people, to provide for them. In the end of the day, in the end of his life, he faced it on a cross of Calvary all alone. But he did it to say the most precious words in all the Bible when he said, "It is finished." It is finished once and for all for you and I, that He finished the work that we can't do. Doesn't matter how good you want to be, you can never be good enough to be with God. Because the only way to be with God is to have perfection. And I guarantee you, none of us are perfect. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're going to have authentic faith, you have to put it in Christ. And my next point is this, is faith undefined. So why are so many people confused when they know it is about the person of Christ? Why? I'll tell you, the answer is also simple. People tend to be unwilling to accept faith for what it really is, rather than what they want it to be. They want faith to be a power that moves God in a direction they have prescribed. They want it to be the code that unlocks the door to God's unlimited resources. Resources they can use at their discretion. Basically, they want faith to be the way for them to get what they want from God. And I see that so often. And the third thing is this. Nor is biblical faith also is not wishful thinking. When you see a team like today, the Vikings are playing, and that's my team. It's been my team forever. My brother always tells me, I don't know why you trust in the Vikings or try to have faith in them, because I hate it. Every time it comes down, it's like we're ahead 20 points. And all of a sudden, Culpepper's running, and he drops the ball. Everyone will say, do you have faith in your Vikings? No, I don't have faith in my Vikings, because they've let me down so many times. I mean, I'll be watching the game, and I'll think, the Vikings are going to win, finally. And they're 6-2, I know, but they're on a losing streak, 2 games now. But I see, and people will say, well, I'm going to put my faith in a team. And you guys know that when you put your faith in a team, especially for me as I put my faith in the Vikings, wishful thinking, I may have confidence that they have the ability to win the game. But faith is not about confidence. Faith is something more than that. And we'll talk about that later. The next thing is this, is faith is not just in the confidence that you can muster up enough confidence that God will act. I want you to understand that just because you have a bunch of confidence, I see people do that. They'll say, I have enough confidence, that I have confidence that God will do this thing, so if I have enough confidence, God's going to act on that. And that isn't the biblical faith. And the last thing that I want to talk about is this, is faith defined. Hebrews 11:1. This is what I want to get into, because this scripture, in this chapter, they call the faith chapter. It says here, "Now faith is sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." The bridge from wishful thinking to faith is the revelation of God, the wonderful promises He gives to us in His Word. People do not need to merely wish that He would have their best interests in mind. They can absolutely be confident that He does. And I want you guys to understand what that means. Is that it's not in circumstances, it's in the person of Christ. And God gives us some direct things that we can put our trust and put our faith in. And one is this, is the grace of God. The grace of God, did I know that I blow it, everyone on earth blows it, and you know what? Jesus has promised us that He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That you can know that we have a God that loves us very much, and that He promises us grace. The problem is we don't usually apply grace very much, especially within the church, to people. I know for me, one of the greatest things that when I came down to work at Christian Friendliness, I found out I didn't have much grace. I looked at the people around me, and I was like a Pharisee. I looked at them, and I thought I was better than them. I thought, you know, how messed up they were. And God says, "Oh no, let me take you on a journey, Dave. Let me take a look at your life. Let me take you to see how messed up you are. And how perverted your thoughts are. Why do I need intimacy with God?" As I tell the youth, if you guys knew some of the things that I think and what's going on, you wouldn't even be sitting in this auditorium listening to me. I mean, some of the things that I think about and go through my mind, I thank God for His grace. And some of the things that I've done, even in ministry, I'm not proud of. I thank God for His grace that I can ask for forgiveness and go on. And I pray that you guys will understand that grace then should apply to other people. That, you know what, I've seen with my group this week is the biggest thing is I wish that they would understand the grace of God. That people do what is wrong to one another and they want to fight and they want to pick at each other and they want to destroy each other. And it's just like the Bible says, the devil only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And they're being used. I mean, we had some hard things that happened to us on the way up here. I mean, $100 came up missing. We had to stop the bus. Someone stole it. We had to talk about the whole issue to the point where people almost started fighting. And everyone's saying, "Oh, that's pretty, you know, why are you letting that conflict come about?" It's like, because that's what's doing life. That was real. And being able to talk people through life, that's what Jesus did. He did life with people. He wasn't about the religion that we see that comes around where people just talk about this thing that is way out there, that's untangible, that you can't reach. It's everyday things that happen in your life. It's real. It's the real thing. And I saw, you know, a lot of things go on. And some people repented and some people didn't. But I don't see very much grace, unfortunately, within my group. The people want God to forgive them, but they don't want to forgive one another. The other thing that God promises this is mercy. God promises you that He'll never put you in too tough a situation you cannot handle without providing a way out. And that is sometimes so hard. Because there are things that come up in life that you think is way too tough for you to handle. But God knows exactly. You can securely put your trust in that God will never put you in too tough a situation you can't handle without providing a way out. And His mercies are new every day. And I've learned that so much. That when I first came here to Christian Friendliness, I could tell you I didn't have a lot of mercy either. It's like, I didn't have much of anything, I know. But of mercy, God has taught me that it's like kids mess up and mess up and mess up. And I will even have people come to me and say, why do you let that kid back in your youth center? He just stole your money. He just broke your door. He just cussed you out. Why do you let him back in? Because God's mercy and His grace is new every day. And that one day that you let that kid in, they might get it that day. And may understand the love of Christ, and their life can change forever. And mercy is something that God gives to us. And God will tell you, there's a lot of times that when we ask for stuff, He may say no, but there's one thing that He never says no to is grace and mercy. And with conclusion, I want to say this. What will people capable of doing when they begin to live by authentic faith? When they're completely confident that God is who He says He is and that He will do what He has promised to do? That's exciting to think about. If we had a group of people who would believe that God is who He is, and that He will do what He promises to do, and that we continue trying to put our faith in pastors and religions and stuff that lets us down, and we can put it firmly in Jesus Christ and live with that love as we look at other people as Christ did in grace and mercy, it would be an exciting world to live in. Because we would truly have the humbleness that Christ had, that when it says in Scriptures that He humbled Himself so much that He was born of human flesh and He dwelt among us. And He fulfilled all the Scriptures through His life. And He died on the cross. And not only did He die on the cross, but He rose again from the dead, so that we may have life, and that life more abundantly. That's exciting. And if we would have authentic faith, that would be real. And I'm going to ask someone to come up and speak at the very end here. I watched this week, of all my group, of who I saw had real, authentic faith. This person didn't say a lot, but when they did say something, it was powerful. I'm telling you, we were on the bus, and there was about a fight to break out, and it was neat. This person stood up for what was right and said, you know what? Right now, you're not doing what God wants you to do, and stood up for what was right. This young lady. And I've seen through it that it's like a lot of things have gone on this week. And it doesn't mean that God's any bigger with her than anyone else here. But she's not the most boisterous one this week. Not the most outspoken. But I can tell you this. I've seen an authentic faith. And she's going to come up and share a story. And it's exciting to me because I've never heard it. She's just recently have been coming to Christian Friendliness, and I'm excited to hear what Christ has done in her life. So come on up here, Dante.
Hi, my name is Shante Jackson, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my life. I wasn't how I am now. I used to run the streets all the time and do what my friends was doing and smoke and skip school and fight in school and get kicked out of school and all this stuff or whatever. And then now it's like one morning I woke up and went to church, and then Ever since that day, it's like something just came over me just to tell me to change my life around. And ever since that day, I've been going to church every Sunday and, is it Tuesday, and if I can on Friday because I work. And then it just, I don't know, like there was a certain part that I just wanted to give up and just be like, forget this and stuff like that. So I wanted to go out and do what my friends was doing. But then it came to me that if I go out and do what my friends was doing, then I'm going to be doing bad. Because I could be out there in the club or smoking or something like that. And then they're having fun now, and they're all in sin. But then when we die, I'm going to have fun forever because I'm going to be living eternally life or whatever. And I'm not going to be in hell, basically. But...
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thankful to be here today and where I am at now and be as strong as I am now because I've been through a lot and I'm standing strong and I'm really blessed today.
That was the first time ever sharing her testimony in front of a group, and that was so I pray this is that we can go and realize what faith is and what faith isn't, and that, you know what, I just really, I can't emphasize much how much I appreciate you guys letting us come here to your church and stay overnight. And you know, I just pray that in some way that God spoke to you today and that you were blessed. And if you want to talk to us more, we'll be here after the service to speak because we're going to stay here for lunchtime. So have some time. Thanks.